You're listening to the Church for Life Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Jeff Hoyos. You can find out more information about our church by visiting churchforlife.com.
Come on back to your seats this morning. We're excited to have you here, and thank you for coming and joining us on this wonderful Sunday morning. It's always an honor when we get to hang out with you, so thank you for coming today. And we'll pray for your sport teams after service, too, if you guys are playing today. Anybody playing it? Oh, right. Don't talk about it. Yeah, all right. Notice how I had our mic off for that, but it's okay. It's all right. So no prejudice and teams here, you know, none of that. So we're so blessed that you're here this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different today, and we've got these things set up here. As you get your seats this morning, before we jump in, I just want to personally invite you. We're having our men's group this Thursday, so if you're a man or a young man in this place, we'd love to hang out with you on Thursday night. This will be our last one for the year. We're going to take the next 2 months off. We usually meet once a month, and we hang out together. We share life. We pray for each other. There's a small teaching, but it's just better to do life together, and so we want to invite you out. And the holidays are about to hit, whether you know it or not. We've got Thanksgiving and Christmas around the corner now, and so life's going to get really busy, but we want to hang out with you guys one last time this year as one big group. So this Thursday, 7 o'clock here at the church, we're going to hang out with you. We'd love to be here, and so come hang out with us, and we'd love to talk with you, to dream with you, to pray for you. If you're struggling, what a great place for us to actually be is here in the house of the Lord. So we're blessed that you'd be here. So come this Thursday at 7. And if you have a spouse that needs to get there, maybe write them a little note and just say, hey, we love you. Why don't you check it out? I don't know. And if you feel pushed by that, it's good to come. So just come. So it's good. Let me pray for us this morning, and then we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have a family meeting this morning. And so we want to share some good things that God's going to do in us in starting next month and carrying it through 2020. And so isn't that crazy? Think about that. 2020 is like a couple of months away. That's just freaky for me. I don't know. 2020 is coming. So let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for being with us, and we love you, and we are grateful that you're here with us. God, we pray today that you would speak to us. God, I pray, God, your presence would be here in this place. God, just like it was in worship, it would be here again, and you'd speak to our hearts and minds, and we'd leave the next few minutes knowing that God spoke to us in our hearts. We thank you for our church family. Lord, we thank you for you choosing us to be a part of your family, and this morning, God, we just pray that you would come speak to us, Lord. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, we are here this morning. I'm going to take my seat, and it's a little weird actually sitting when I preach, and it's a little weird, huh? So they're kind of stinky chairs, so if I fall asleep on you, I'm just like one of you out there today, too, so I'm just, this is a family meeting, right? I can say those things, right? No, I'm just kidding, but I am just like you, by the way, so it's good. Sometimes when I first learned to pray, I was praying in my house. I used to always fall asleep praying. And then I felt like the Lord said, well, why don't you walk and pray? So that's what I did this morning is I stood up and I walked to my living room, and I'm just doing that for the last like 15 years. That's how I pray, because I fall asleep. So if you need to stand up and wake yourself up, feel free to stand up and praise the Lord. That way it's good. But, we are going to have a family meeting this morning. And what we do is we're just going to share our hearts today. Is that okay? We'll share our hearts for our church family. But before we start, I wanted to, if you're new this morning, there's a scripture that talks about family. And it's in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. It's one of my life verses. And it says this, even before he made the world, he's talking about God. Okay, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. I think what's amazing about that verse is God chooses us to be in his family. He chooses us. In fact, the very next verse says that. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. That he chose you and me. He wants you to be a part of his family. No one twists his arm. No one hold a gun to God's head and said, you choose that person. No, God says, no, I decided. I want you to be in my family. And it says this, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure, great joy. We give God great pleasure when we enter into his family. And so that's one of the verses that I think that has always encouraged me when I get up in the morning and pray. when I spend time in the Word with Him, is that God is excited that I'm in His family and excited that I'm spending time with Him. And so this morning, I wanted to do the same thing with all of you guys and say this is simply, God is excited every Sunday that we choose to hang out together. If you're new this morning, God is excited to say, I am excited to be here with you. And for us, as we start our family meeting this morning, I just want to say as a pastor, we are always excited to see you here. We're so excited to spend time with you, excited to do life. It is amazing that we get to do life with so many great people here. In fact, I wanted to start off our family meeting this morning by thanking some people for serving and being here. There are some people here at this church that serve week in and week out that make all this happen. This doesn't happen because of two pastors. This doesn't happen because of a couple of people. This happens because there is a family of believers that chooses every Sunday to come and serve one another here. And so I wanted to do this with you. So what we're going to do today, and I know most of you who are serving hate when we do things like this, because you don't do it for the accolades or the applause and all these things, but I think it's important that we recognize you and that we thank you for all that you do. So when I call you, I'm going to call your ministry, and when I talk about you, I need you to stand, and I need you to keep standing until we're done with everybody, okay? So you're going to stand for a very long time, okay? No, because I can talk too long, right? And that's why my wife's up here. She can just kind of give me a rib or something and tell me you need to stop. So, but we're so thankful for our family here. So first I want to talk to one of our staff. So our staff is an amazing staff. If you're here this morning, I think you're here. You're in the back. Could you come a little forward? Just like take one step forward. So our staff is here today. And we are thankful for our staff. Our staff is, we have a 5-person staff, and they put up with me during the week. So that's a thing for applause right there. But they also serve behind the scenes and make Sunday morning happen every single Sunday. They pray for you. On Tuesdays, one of my favorite times is when the staff actually leads worship and prayer. And we pray for our church family. We pray for you by name. And then we affirm you, too, as a staff. Every Tuesday, we talk about the good things we see in our church family. And so I want to thank our staff for setting that culture here. So thank you, staff, for being a part of that. So keep standing, staff. I want to thank our Kids Church team. So if you're part of the Kids Church ministry, you're probably serving right now. But if you serve in any way in Kids Church, would you stand this morning? So Kids Church leaders and servants and volunteers, stand and keep standing this morning. We have a great team of Kids Church that loves on our kids every single Sunday. Some of these people serve on multiple weekends, and they love your kids. And if they give you a hard time, they give them even a harder time in there. And they love your kids, and they pour out their hearts. Many of these people, every Sunday morning, they come extra. They come extra crafts and snacks and gifts. And thank you guys for being incredible people who love on our kids when you don't have to. There's nobody paid here to actually do that. So thank you for loving on our kids. So keep standing, everybody. So next, I'd love to thank our worship and back platform team. So worship and back platform. People lead worship for us. Would you stand this morning? These are people who lead worship from the front and worship from the back. We have incredible worship here, and I want to thank you guys for doing that. They put in hours of practice at home. They come early. They're one of the first people here every Sunday morning to make this happen, and they come with yawns and smiles every Sunday morning. And so we want to thank you for that, and they serve with their heart. They also, not only they get the earliest, but they stay pretty much the latest too as well. So thank you guys for that. I want to thank our prayer ministry, too. We have a prayer ministry started up this year, and if Hillary is here, it's part of the worship ministry, but also if you're part of our prayer team, I want you to please stand this morning, too. We thank you for coming and serving and being a part of that. They come every Sunday, and they pray for our worship team, and they pray for our church. Part of that prayer ministry, too, is we have pre-service prayer that meets in the conference room. If you've attended our pre-service prayer, would you please stand this morning too? We thank you for those of us who pray on Sunday mornings for everyone here. So thank you for being our prayer warriors who pray for our church. Next, I'd like to thank our hospitality team. So the hospitality team is made up of 3 teams, our welcome team, our usher and security team, and our refreshment team. Would you stand this morning for us? If you're part of the welcome team, the usher team, or the refreshment team, please stand this morning. We want to thank you for serving and in making this a safe environment, and also make sure everybody gets greeted well here in Jesus' name. It's always as a pastor, I see new people coming in, and it's these teams that make sure that every person gets greeted well. And so we want to honor and thank you. Can we give these people one more round of applause? They make the church happen every week, and we're so grateful for you. Awesome. And so for the rest of the service, I'm going to have you stand. No, I'm kidding. You guys can sit this morning. And we are so grateful for you. And as a pastor, it's encouraging. I have some pastor friends, and some of them, they only have their family doing all the work. And I'm so grateful that it's not just our family doing the work, but it's our family in Christ here. It's so many people who choose to be part of this ministry on Sunday mornings. Now, that did not include our small group team that meets too as well. That did include our men's ministry, our women's ministry. But I just wanted to kind of focus on our Sunday morning ministries here. And so thank you for being that as well. And so we honor you. So I'll let my wife take it away.
All right. So in our house, when we do a family meeting, what we do with our kids is we start off with worship, because we feel like if we're going to have a family meeting, we definitely need Jesus in that meeting. Especially now that they're teenagers, we definitely need Jesus in that meeting. And then we like to talk, we like to thank our kids for what they've been doing well, which is why Pastor Jeff just led us in that appreciation for all of you who are serving here. But then we also sometimes have some things where we have to come in with, there's a few problems we've been seeing, but we don't want to just say, here's the problem. Now you're grounded. We can't ground you guys. So we like to come to them with, this is the problem, and this is how, as a family, we're going to work together to fix this issue. Now let me tell y'all, this morning my oldest son made the mistake of letting my husband and I know it's been a while since we've had a family meeting. So I see one in the imminent future for our household. I think he's going to regret that little reminder he just gave, because I have some problems to bring him, and I've got some solutions for him. But today we're talking about our church family, just some things that maybe we've been noticing the Holy Spirit's been putting on our hearts of, we need to adjust this as a family. We need to adjust this. Now, our goal here at Church for Life is to create a church where people are walking together towards Jesus. We don't want to just have somebody walking in and raising their hand to accept Jesus and then be like, all right, good luck on that walk of yours. Have fun. Do you want a map? We don't want to do that. We want to be walking together, linking arms with each other. Those of us who have been further down the road can come alongside those who this is a brand new road and say, hey, I know how to get you over there. Let me take you. I'm not just going to throw a map at you. I'm going to walk with you to where it is you're going. And so one of the things that has been on our hearts for a few years now for Pastor Jeff and I has been discipleship, like a true discipleship program. And so it's been something that we've been praying and seeking the Lord for, is how does a discipleship program, like, how does that fit the best way for our church, for our family here in Santa Maria? And what does this look like? And as we've gone to conferences over the last few years, we've been seeking out from other pastors, what do you guys do? What does discipleship look like for your church? How's this working for you guys? And just asking the Lord to show us, how does this work for Church for Life? How does this work for Santa Maria? What does this look like? And whew, sometimes you're throwing out those prayers and you're really hoping you're going to get that answer like that. And God's like, we're going to wait. You're not ready yet. Luckily for us, we have come to the end of our waiting. And the Lord has answered our prayers. As we've been meeting with people and saying, this is what we feel like God's leading us towards in discipleship, we've actually been getting confirmation from people in our church saying, I've been feeling that too. That's something I've been feeling on my heart. So that makes Jeff and I happy, because it means we're not just hearing voices, right? Like, there's actual confirmation. We're not just coming up with some crazy idea that we're pulling out of our own back pockets here, but it's something that is being Spirit-led for our church. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that maybe we're not really fully getting right, some things that we're not taking full advantage of in our relationship with the Lord, and we're going to talk about what that's going to look like for us going forward, walking together towards Jesus.
So this idea of discipleship is just this idea of us walking together and learning from one another, how do we love the Lord? I love that scripture about being in God's family, but there's also something different about God's family. It's a holy family. It's a perfect family. It's a powerful family. So part of this is, I don't know about you, but the first time I went to church, everything was weird for me. People lifting their hands in worship, and they had these big Bibles that were super thin paper, right? Super thin paper, thousands of pages. I'm like, I don't even know where to start with this thing. I don't know how to get going. And when you first come to Christ, it is an amazing experience, but there needs to be someone to show you how to do that. And so our heart this year is that we would become that church, that we would walk with people toward Jesus. So if you came to church this morning, you're like, I don't know anything about this, that you'd have somebody here in this congregation, this family, that would walk alongside you, explain things to you, that would teach you things, that would answer your questions, that would stand with you when things are tough, that they would stand with you and help you, pray for you, show up and help you move. How many of you have ever moved before? How many of you have moved by yourself? Isn't that miserable? The most miserable thing in the world if you have to move by yourself. And that we would be those people that would walk alongside of you, that would help you. And this isn't just our idea here. This is God's idea. It says in Matthew 28:18-20, this is a verse here where Jesus was walking the earth, and he turned to his disciples after he was helping and encouraging people. So Jesus came and told his disciples, the guy he's been walking with for 3 years, He turned and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. So he's telling them here, guys, I've died for your sins, and I raised to life again. I came back and proved that I've broken death's power over you. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, he says this, because I've given this authority, because I've proven that death has been beaten, because I'm the Son of God, because I believe in you, he says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make people who know me. Go and make some disciples, he says, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples, he says, teach them. Don't just tell them about God's family. Teach them how to live in God's family. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given to you. And then he gives them this promise. This is amazing. He gives them, here's something I want you to walk in, but here's a promise. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says this, if you'll go and show people about me, tell them about me, invite them into your family, and then you begin to teach them and help them to run and live in God's family, learn how to do that well, then I'll be with you to the end of the age. That's God promising that he'll walk with us. And so that's an amazing gift from God.
So currently, one of the things that we have been observing that seems to be happening is that a good majority of us show up on Sunday mornings, we punch our time card, and then that's as far as we go with Jesus for the rest of the week. With the exception of the random Instagramming of a scripture or Christianese quote. So we sit in here together, we listen to whatever scriptures Pastor Jeff says to us in his message, and then we leave, we go have lunch, and we're done. We checked our box, we said, I'm good. And then your lives start becoming a hot mess, and you set up an appointment with Pastor Jeff or myself or Pastor Chris, and you're telling us all about your hot mess, and you're telling us about the solution you think you have to this hot mess, and you just want us to pray for you. And we ask, well, this plan you have to get you out of this hot mess, how do we see that kind of solution in the Bible? Like, where do you see that in God's word? And let me tell you, Pastor Jeff and I have lost track this year of the number of people who have told us, well, I don't actually read the Bible. I don't actually know scripture. You can argue with me all you want because you know scripture and I don't. And the problem with this is the Bible is available to every single one of us. Every single one of us. Whether it's a hard copy, whether it's an app on your phone. I mean, really, if for whatever reason you can't access the Bible, we're a church. We got you covered. Come ask us. We'll get one in your hands. And so we have this problem where we're not getting into the Word beyond that Sunday morning church service. And the problem is we have these very shallow relationship with Jesus because we're spending an hour and a half with him a week. A week. But as believers, we're called to a much, much deeper relationship with Jesus than that. Much deeper. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Let's make this very clear. The enemy wants to kill your destiny, steal your joy, and destroy your life. And that might feel like something that's sci-fi, but if we're going to believe the truth that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, then we need to believe the truth that the enemy is out there. But Jesus told us, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not content to live a half life.
Now, I know as we're talking about this, it seems kind of heavy a little bit, but I wanted to just say this, that this is not complicated for us. And I'm a real simple guy. And I love our God because although he is complex, he makes us walk with him very simple. Because he wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. That's our heart for all of you today, is God wants you to succeed in life. He wants you to win. He wants you to have a full life. He doesn't make it complicated for us. And so why would we in church world make this plan complicated? Can someone say amen to that? Why would we make it complicated? So we're going to keep this plan very simple. What we did as an eldership and pastoral team was we met, and for about a day and a half, we dreamed and prayed about, God, what's a simple plan to help people get to know you better? What's a simple plan for us to be able to walk alongside of people and help them understand the goodness of God? What's a simple plan for us to help people to stay in God's love and to go from someone that goes to church on Sunday to somebody that really walks with God during every day of their life? That's where full life happens. And so what we talked about this is, some of you noticed I just started exercising again. I'm excited about it because I'm actually exercising. I'm not just saying, there's one time I joined a gym and I didn't go once the entire year. You sign up, you're like, I'll go, and then I didn't go. And then a year went by and I'm like, I should probably cancel that gym membership now. But I started working out about three months ago now, and I've stuck with it. And God's been doing things. I'm wearing my wedding ring this morning. I couldn't wear this ring because I got so big. So I had to take it off. And this is the ring that I got married with. We've been married now 16 years. And so about sometime last year, I couldn't wear it anymore because I took it off for a second. And I couldn't jam it back on. So I put it in a drawer and I put it on this morning and it fit. And I'm just so grateful for that it fits. And God is so good with that. But I don't know about you. When I first started, I tried to go for a run like I did in high school. I haven't worked out in like 20 years. And so I tried to go back out and work out. I almost died going on the block once. I just, literally, because my Apple Watch was saying, do you need me to call the authorities for you? Because your heart rate is so crazy. And I said, no, I'll be fine. I'm having this conversation with my watch, right? But I think that's a lot of this is in this journey with God. When you first come to know him, it's exciting, but it's hard to know where to start. So our goal this year is for us to walk alongside of people, no matter where you are on the journey, for us to walk alongside of you and for us to help you understand the goodness of God. And so in Acts 15:19, there's a scripture. It says that it is my judgment, therefore, this is the brother of Jesus talking here, James. He said, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles, those are regular people like you and me, who are turning to God. That we should make it simple. We should help them. We should encourage them. There was a time in the early church where there was a lot of complicated rules at first that started coming in. And this council of apostles and Christians said, wait a minute, let's make it simple again. This is not what we're called to do. Make it simple. And so this is the heartbeat of everything that we're going to share with you now. A simple journey for us to go along together. You're all invited to be part of that journey. I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like I'm not invited. Well, you're invited to be a part of this journey here. And so the simple plan is this. It starts off with this. So because I've been working out and because my boys run, I'm just going to make this kind of like a metaphor. If you hate running and jogging and walking, well, then you change the metaphor to actually fit you, okay? So here's where we start with. There are three categories that we want to help you with this year. First is we like to walk with you. There are some things that we're going to walk with you in, because if you try to run a marathon and you don't even know how to really walk around the block, you will kill yourself and get discouraged. You know, come on, that's happened. Some of us go super spiritual and super deep, and it's scaring the children, right? You are scaring people. So there's a place for that, and absolutely there's a place for that. But please don't scare people by you being super spiritual, right? Or and some of us, I won't even go there, so I'll just keep going. But there needs to be environments where we walk with people. There needs to be environments where we challenge people, invite them. Let's go for a jog now. Let's go for a jog now. Let's go deeper in our faith. And environments where let's really go all out and let's run. Let's learn to run with God. And every level, there's a little bit more of a heart to go, a little bit more. Because God is so deep that he wants to invite you into something greater. And so I think that's what's so encouraging about this. So I want to talk a little bit about our walking environment first. And so what does that mean for us to walk with God? That's like an easy access for everybody. And so in Acts 2:42, the early church was good at walking. They walked with everybody. In fact, it says in Acts 2:42 on the screens here that they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. They just did some simple things. They got together, and they learned about Jesus as a group. They shared some meals, and then they prayed together. That's where they started with anybody was invited to be a part of that simple way. So our Sunday morning services, that is actually one of the things that we're excited about is we're going to fine-tune this thing on Sunday mornings so that this is easy and accessible for anybody, that you can invite your neighbors, your coworkers, the cashiers at Vons and Albertsons to come and be a part of this, because you know on Sunday morning they're going to be taken care of well, that they'll be invited to sit with somebody, invited to have a conversation with somebody, that they'll be invited to be a part of what we're doing, that nobody comes to church and gets ignored all service, that we're going to become a church, and we are becoming that already, where we can walk alongside of people and invite them. But there's so much more than that, and I think this is something that we've seen as an eldership, is that we have our two services now, and what I've been seeing is that second service has a different flavor if you've been part of second service. We're a little bit more spread out. We have our own zones. It's like going to a theater. If you go to a movie theater, how many of you hate it when somebody new sits right next to you? You're like, dude, there's three seats behind us. So you go move over. Go move over. Well, that's kind of what second service is kind of turning into, is we've got people who are like, this is my row of seats. Go sit over there, please. And I don't think they mean that, but I think that's what's kind of happening. And let me just say this. When I first became a believer, I didn't know any of this stuff. I remember I came to church, and I saw people lift their hands in worship. And I remember this Sunday I told my wife, I think this is our Sunday that we're going to lift our hands in worship. Do you want to do it with me? So we drove to church and we said, okay, the next song that they lead us into, we're going to lift our hands, and we're going to worship God. Because we saw people doing that in front of us, and we didn't understand. We didn't grow up Christians. We didn't know this stuff. But we know there was some kind of a peace and joy when people lifting their hands and worshiping God. There was a freedom in that, and we wanted that too. And so that Sunday, we did a countdown. Okay, on the count of three. Ready? Three, two, one. Our hands went up in the air. And then we didn't know what to do next. So our hands stayed up there for the entire song, and it was like our hands were shaking, not because of God's presence, because our hands were hurting, and we're doing this, and their hands went down. But I remember laughing about it now. We didn't know any of that stuff. We didn't know how to do this. But what we saw in front of us was there were people who loved Jesus, had a personal relationship with him, and they modeled it for us. We want to be that kind of a church where there are people at all different stages of their walks with God, and we can be models for people just by being around them. And so starting on November 17th, we're going to do as a church, we're going to go down to one service. And we're going to invite people to join us from both services so we can walk alongside of them. And Sunday morning, we're going to go at it so that nobody, everybody comes in, nobody would be forgotten. Nobody would be overlooked. And so on November 17th, we're going to have a 10:30 a.m. service. And one of the things that we want to do for you, too, is 10:30 is right in the middle of the day. So if you like football, you can go watch your 1 o'clock game, right? Some of you are like, yay, praise Jesus. Yeah. It's not why we did it, by the way, but I'm just saying.
I tried getting him to do 8:30 so we'd be ready for 10 a.m. games, got shot down for that.
She did very firmly by the Holy Spirit here.
Yeah, I
very
tried, firmly you guys.
She tried. But one of the things I want to do, too, is we want to thank our volunteers every single Sunday. I think there's something on my heart that we are always grateful for you, but sometimes you guys don't even know that because we don't have a chance to thank you individually. And so we thought what we'd do starting on that Sunday is that every Sunday we'd have breakfast here in the morning for all our volunteers. So every Sunday we're gonna have breakfast for you. And it's gonna be at 9 a.m. So we'll have a 9 a.m. breakfast. That's for anybody serving. You come and eat with us. And then at 9:30, what we're gonna do is we're gonna do some worship and prayer together as a team. We're gonna pray for you, and we're gonna get together, and we're gonna celebrate God's goodness and pray for our service, pray for all of our new people, pray for our volunteers, pray for those of you who are struggling as a team of people. We're gonna worship God. And so what we're doing at that time too is at 9 a.m., we're doing this at 9 a.m. so that nobody has to get here any earlier than they're already getting here now, including our worship team that gets here really early. And so our heart is that this wouldn't be a burden to anybody, but you would be invited into something. Again, we're going to walk with you. And so what a great way for us to invite you if you're volunteering. We have breakfast for you, and we get to worship and pray together. And if you're somebody new to our church and you sign up to serve, we get to rally with you and encounter God's presence.
Also, now that you've heard, breakfast will be served for those serving. If you suddenly find yourself desiring to be part of a team, you can talk to Nicole Rainwater or Kim Harchin, and they can help find a team for you.
Absolutely. So I'm excited about that, because now for both services, we get to be together, and we get to walk with people. So I'm excited about that. And yeah, it's good. Let's talk about a jogging environment now.
All right, so the next one is jogging. Some of us call it running because that's about as fast as we go. But reality is, this is jogging. So as I previously said, we're not getting into the word enough. And so I'm actually very excited. I'm very excited about this next step that we're going to be doing. For those of you who want to jog with us, what that is going to include is intentionally getting into the Word on a regular basis. And so the first step that we're doing is, together as a church, we're gonna order these lovely life journals. Now, gentlemen, you don't have to get purple. This is mine. This is my personal journal, which is why it's purple. I didn't want Jeff grabbing the wrong one and writing his thoughts in my journal. and what we're going to do, so what this does, this journal includes a daily reading plan of the Bible. It takes us through the entire Bible in a year. And what it does is it takes you each day through some Old Testament, a couple chapters, not books, just chapters of Old Testament, New Testament, and then occasionally Psalms and Proverbs, which this morning my boys were like, isn't Psalms and Proverbs Old Testament? Yes, but for some reason we always recategorize those, and I don't even know why. But that is what it takes you through on a daily basis, and it doesn't take long. It's not really long. It's just a few chapters that we're reading each day. And what we do with that is we do what's called soap journaling. So on the pages throughout the journal, you know, you write down your date, and then you get to the soap. Now, this is an acronym? Yeah, an acronym. Sorry, I'm not in college anymore. and the S stands for scripture. So as you're reading those chapters, if there's a scripture that just stands out in your heart, something you've never noticed before, you're getting this revelation as you're reading this. This actually happened to me the other day with when I was doing my daily journaling, and I was reading Micah 3, 8, and 9, and I even had to text my husband, and I said, how come we always talk about Micah 3, 10 and not Micah 3, 8, and 9? And if you're wondering what that says, I'm going to encourage you to go look that up and let God do what he wants with your heart. So there's scripture. You write down the scripture that's been speaking to you, and then the O stands for observation. What do you observe about that scripture? What are you observing that God is communicating to us through that specific scripture that just stood out in your hearts? And then the A is for application. How are we going to apply this to our lives? Because it's not enough for us to just read it and say, well, that was nice, and walk away. We need to read it, let it sit in our hearts, and say, how am I going to live this out? How do I walk this out in my current life situation? And then the P is for prayer. You just write out a very simple prayer of that scripture. How, Lord, are you going to use that for our hearts? And so what we're going to do with this is in the next few weeks, we're going to start having signups for this. Now, this is an investment from you. It's $6 a journal. So it's like a venti coffee from Starbucks. It's cheaper than the number one meal at McDonald's. Okay. So $6 a journal. Now, the great thing about this is not individual. This is not just something just for mom and dad. If your children are at a stage of life where they can read and they can write, they have journals for kids as well. Now, they don't read quite as much as we do, so you don't have to worry that they're going to get stuck in numbers and be like, Mom, what does begot mean? How do I say this name? But they have an opportunity to be reading the word as well and writing out what God is doing for them as well. Theirs is called the Soapy Journal, and it has a cute little dog on the front. My kids have done those Soapy Journals when they were little. They used to pull theirs out and do their little journals right alongside Jeff and I. So this isn't just an individual, you know, this is what I got to do. This is an opportunity for us as a church family to do it together and for you in your homes as a family to be able to do that together. So we're looking at, I mean, for our family, a $30 investment. That's easy. Now, for those of you that maybe that $30 or that $12, whatever that looks like for your family, if that's a big stretch, because we realize that everybody is in different situations right now, let us know, and we will get this taken care of for you. Okay, we don't want there to be any reason why we're not walking through this together. And so we're going to start this journaling. In the next few weeks, you're going to see signups. This is how many journals I need. This is how many I need for kids, and this is how many I need for adults, because our goal is throughout the last 3 weeks of December to be able to get those journals into your hands so that January 1st, we're all starting together. January 1st, we're all starting with Jesus and his word. I'm glad you're excited about it. I was excited, but I love reading, and I realize not everybody loves reading. So the next thing we're going to do that goes in with this jogging is we're also going to start doing what's called the public reading of Scripture, which takes it a little bit out of that personal. It's one thing when we're reading on our own, but we're going to actually be doing public reading of Scripture, and I have a video for you to watch so you can see why it is we're going to do public reading of Scripture. All right, I'm also really excited about this, in part because I went a month ago or so, I went to Missouri for a work conference, and I got to hear the founder of a Bible reading app. He was speaking, and he was talking about it. The app is actually called, if you want to pull out your phones, it's called Public Reading of Scripture. And he was talking about starting this, and a little bit of his backstory is he would be trying to read Scripture, and he would just get distracted because that's what happens, right? Moms, you have toddlers, you know how easy that's distracting. Or you have husbands, you know how easily that's distracting. Or husbands, you're looking at the Target credit card bill and you're like distracted. And so he found he would be getting distracted while he was trying to read on his own. And so what he started doing was listening to the Bible while he was reading. And what we know, what studies show is actually if you are listening to what you're reading, if you're reading and listening at the same time, it actually sticks in your mind better. It actually stays in your memory better than if you're just listening or if you're just reading. And so number one, I want to encourage you all to download the Public Reading of Scripture at what are you doing, Aaliyah Bell? That's my niece. She, you want to come hang out with us? No? Okay, cool. The other thing is, if you don't have a phone where you can get apps, it's great. They have a website. It's called publicreadingofscripture.com, and they have access to you being able to listen to the Bible. The Scripture is actually on there, so you can be reading along as it's reading. Now, how this is working for us as a church is what we're going to be doing is Wednesday nights, starting January 8th, Wednesday nights, we're going to be opening up the church from 7 to 8:30, and we're going to be playing the public reading of Scripture. So on those Wednesdays, rather than doing our life journal on our own, we'll come together, we'll listen to the public reading of Scripture. That day's readings, we'll listen to together. And then you know what we're going to do? We're just going to talk about it together. And Pastor Jeff and I aren't even coming up with conversation prompts for you guys. Scary, right? We're going to let the Holy Spirit move in your hearts as these scriptures are being read and let revelation happen for you. And then we're going to listen to each other talk very excitedly or maybe a little discouraged because maybe there's things in our lives we want to keep doing and truth is revealing we should stop doing that. but we're going to talk together. What of tonight's reading spoke to you? That's the whole prompt. And so we're going to get this word together. And you know what? You're more than welcome. You don't have to just be a member of this church. You bring your coworkers. You bring your friends. You bring your cousin and her boyfriend who are living together and their relationship's a hot mess and they don't know why. And you're like, I know, but I'm going to just bring you and let you listen. Okay? So we're going to start doing that beginning January 8th. So I'm super excited for January this year.
Yeah, part of that too is, guys, is we understand that while the Word of God is so amazing, it is intimidating at first to see that big book in your hands or to see your phone app, and this goes on forever, and I don't know what to start. And so if we've ever wanted someone to walk alongside you and explain that to you, that's where we're going to be here that night. We're going to be here that night to have people who are a little further than you along. If you have a question, I don't understand this in Scripture. Why does it seem like a contradiction? He says it here and here in two different places. It sounds different for us to talk about it, for us to wrestle with it. And so it's a jogging environment because it's more than a Sunday morning, right? It's a little bit extra, you coming and being a part of it. But we want to make it available to everybody. You're welcome to come jog with us and learn how to do this well. And God will begin to speak to you, and God will begin to use you as you share your ideas and thoughts, as you ask questions. People around you will grow because you showed up that night. Isn't that cool? That God loves you so much and He believes in you so much that you show up that night, no matter how much Bible you know or how long you've been a Christian, you show up that night and you begin to just do life with people. You begin to ask questions and share, well, I think this is what God spoke to me. I remember the first time I went to a Bible study like this, and there was two people who had been walking with God a long time, and I had just gotten saved, and they came to me and said, so what did God speak to you? And I said, I don't even know if I know what His voice sounds like, and I've never read the Bible before, so I don't know. And so they went first, and they began to share, well, here's what God spoke to me. And when you know it, the same thing God spoke to them, He put in my heart too. That's how I knew I could hear from God. God was speaking to me, and He was encouraging me. So then the next time we met, I shared what God spoke to me. And I've been doing that ever since, just God speaking to me. And God wants to speak to you. But we want to be a safe environment for you to be able to experience that on your own. And so come join us there starting in January of 2020. The next environment that we'd love to talk to you about, well, we also want to do this real quick, is we believe that small groups are really important, amen? Small groups are important. Small groups are a way for us to get into people's lives outside of the church, so it's another jogging environment. I just want to very quickly talk about that. So beginning Easter of 2020, we're going to relaunch small groups, and what we're going to do here is we want to spend time with you around some core areas. So we found this over the last couple of years. There are four areas that if you're doing these four things and in these areas, growing in these areas, you can experience a full life. Jesus came to give you a full life. And so there's four areas. You've got to encounter God. You've got to enter into God's family. You've got to experience freedom, and you got to engage the world. Those are four areas. And I don't have time to teach in each and every one of them, but just know this. So what we're going to do is starting after Easter of next year is we're going to do our best to make sure we have small groups in each of these categories that are here for you to join. If you need help in your family, you're thinking to myself, my kids are a nightmare. Well, come do a small group. I remember I did my first small group on parenting because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And I learned so much about being in that small group with other believers as they shared their stories. I shared my stories and we heard some good teaching. It really saved my family. And so we need to be able to do those environments. There are moments where you just need some friends. I don't know about you, but we all need some friends in our lives. And so we're going to have small groups that we're just focused on relationship. In fact, there's one that we meet now with Dave and Lori, my in-laws. They have a small group that meets twice a month, and they do this really deep thing. They eat food together, and they hang out. That's the small group. It's one of our favorite small groups to be able to go to because they're just sharing life together. You need small groups like that where you're just going to hang out together and you share life. You need small groups where you can experience freedom. There's things like grief that people walk through, things like addiction that we walk through. When we need people to walk alongside us to help us to get free. And we need to engage the world. There'll be some service small groups where we're focused on serving outside of our church, going and doing things like, let's go feed the homeless today. Let's go clean up someone's backyard. Let's go serve people in our church family. Let's do that. And so we'll have small groups like that. So that'll start kind of next year, but we're running out of time today, so I want to kind of close with this last thing. And then there are some running environments where we need to, the church family, learn to run together. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. He's talking about the great cloud of witnesses that are They're in heaven, cheering us on in heaven. That means that we'd better get on with it. Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. We need to be a people that not just hang out together, that don't just go to church on Sundays, but we need to know who God is. We personally know who he is, have a personal relationship with him. And so what we're going to do next year is we're going to go deep, and we're going to do some sprints. For those of you who are ready to run with us, we have some sprints here. We're going to invite you into a 12-week session. We meet with you. You're going to get a mentor that's going to walk alongside of you. And we're going to commit to 12 weeks of investment as we read through scriptures, as we learn together. There are some things that can only happen with having a deep focus with God. So we have these two different classes set up here called Dio and called Cleansing Stream. And so we're going to launch that next year. We've been actually doing it this year. We've had some pilot groups meeting, and there's been a lot of success and excitement for it. And so next year, we're going to unveil that to the entire church and invite you. If you want to go deep and focus on God for 12 weeks, we're going to go deep with you. We're going to meet weekly. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to meet for coffee, and we're going to pray for you and encourage you, and we're going to help you. This is our heart for you. If you're ready to run with us, we want to run with you. And so that's kind of the plan in a nutshell. And I want to close with just one thing real quick. And I'm going to stand to kind of talk this one. There is a place when we're talking about running and what we're talking about. This seems like, I don't know if I want to exercise, Pastor. I didn't come to church to hear exercising. And so I thought about that. And I thought, well, let me leave you with one story that actually might help you today to understand this is not about exercising. This is about you learning to walk with God. This is about you knowing that God loves you and he speaks to you and he's helping you. He wants you to have great marriages and great relationship with your kids. He wants you to have a great relationship with your grandkids and your coworkers. He wants your life to shine full. He wants you to be free of addiction. He wants you to be free of all the things that have held you back in life. And what he says is, to do that, I'm not going to give you a list of to-dos, but I'm going to invite you into a relationship. To do that, because you don't know how to do this on your own, I'm going to invite people to come walk alongside of you that will show you the way. I remember being a young Christian and wishing someone would show me how to do this. Our heart next year is that you would be a person that would have someone. If this is your heart, I'm going to learn how to walk with God, that you would learn how to walk alongside somebody, that God would walk alongside of you and teach you how to do life. And so I remember about 2 weeks ago, I was at my son Evan. He was at his cross country meet, and he was running out there in the field. And there was must have been like 60 or 70 kids running from all different schools. And so they got all lined up, and so I walked across the field, and I was waiting for him to run by me. And so they shot off the gun. The kids start running, and a ton of kids run by, and there's no Evan yet. I'm thinking, I'm okay, because one prayer is, God, I just don't want to be last. So I'm hoping, okay, I don't want to be last. It's his, one of his first races, but if he's last, I'm going to cheer him on like nobody else. And so so I'm waiting for it to come, and there's still no Evan yet. And then I see a kid that's coming. It kind of looks like Evan, but it's him walking. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's the one thing. Don't walk, Evan. Keep running, guys. I think that's Evan. So he's coming closer and closer and closer. And I realized it's actually not my son. It's this other kid that's running. And he's running, and then he'd walk. And he'd run, and then he'd walk. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I hope that kid makes it, too. I'm cheering for this kid because I'm thinking, man, there's something about being dead last in a race. You just feel overwhelmed by it. You're like, oh, I don't know if I'll do this anymore. So I'm waiting for my son, this one kid. I'm seeing him, and he's just kind of running. And he looks like I don't want to be here. Like, this is the wrong sport for me to sign up for. And so I'm beginning to pray for him as he's running by, and I'm waiting for Evan. And sure enough, I see my son running here, and he's running, and now he's the very last person. And so he's running on this race, and my heart's going out to him. I said, Evan, just keep going. I've been last before in races. It does not feel good. But I'm saying I'm proud of my son for getting out in the field. So he's running, and I said, Evan, great job. And he looks at me and gives me a thumbs up, I think, and just keeps on running. And he just kept that pace the entire time. He kept that pace, just going at his own pace. He didn't care that he was last or first. He kept that pace the whole time. So he ran that loop like two more times. And the last one, I saw that he had passed the kid in front of him that was running and walking. It looked like he didn't want to be here anymore. He actually passed him. And then so Evan is turning his last corner now into the finish line. And as he's turning that corner, I'm hearing the coach who's running the race. He's saying, "Okay, guys, thanks for coming." And he starts announcing the winners. They start tearing down the course when my son and this other kid is still on the field. So I'm just like, "What are you doing? Like, we've got two kids on the track still, and you're telling everybody thanks for coming. You're tearing down the track." I was so angry as a dad, but I'm like, I'm going to focus on my son and cheer him in. And so our whole family was there, so we stood up and we're cheering Evan in as he runs through. And man, he had a personal best that day. I was so proud of him. But then I remember there's still that kid on the track there by himself now, the kid who was struggling through the entire race. And so my family's like, "Let's go cheer that kid on." So we get up and we're going to cheer him on. And then we look to our right, and there's about 20 or 30 kids from different schools that are running to go find this kid. They find him turning that last bend, and they're not just cheering for him. They're cheering for him, and they're running alongside of him. In fact, this kid's still walking, so they're walking alongside of him, and they're, "Come on, let's get in. Let's finish this." And these 20 kids are cheering this kid on and loving on him, walking with him. And when he crossed that finish line, you would have thought he was the first one that everyone's cheering for him, that he was the number one runner that day. And while all the other adults had forgotten about him, all the kids there made sure that this kid never walked alone. That's the image of the church, of how we should be. Nobody walks alone here. It doesn't matter how injured you are. It doesn't matter how many dumb things you've done in your life. If you want to be a part of this church family, we're going to walk with you. If you're injured because of hurt from your past, or something that happened, we're going to walk with you. We're going to help you. We're going to be here for you. We're going to invite you into time with us. We're going to teach you about the Bible. We're going to pray with you. We're going to encourage you to step into your destiny. We're going to encourage you to do hard things as well, like forgive people and step out of anxiety and bitterness and depression. We're going to be there for you and say, "You are more than your addiction. Come on, you can be free of this." We're going to be those people that walk with each other. And when you cross that finish line, we're cheering you on because God loves you. Everyone matters. This is our heart for you. So this year, what we're going to do is we're going to tangibly and practically invite you to walk with us on a journey. Those of you who are ready to run, we're going to say, come jog and then come run with us. If you want to learn about the Bible, you want to learn about God, we are here to help you. We're not experts, but we know an expert. His name is Jesus. And so we're going to point you to Jesus, all right? So would you stand on your feet this morning? We're going to just pray for people today. If you want to just play some music, Pastor Chris, that'd be great. I think I want to honor your time, and we want to thank you for being here with us today. It's a little bit different. This is more of a sharing kind of what's happening next rather than a Sunday morning message to really encourage you. But I'd love to say this, is that God absolutely loves you. God absolutely is passionate for you. And one of the things I can do for you this morning, I just want to pray that you'd feel that this week. This would just be an invitation from the Holy Spirit for you to walk with him daily. That's what he wants, because he loves you, and he wants to show you how to live a full life, because God is that good, because he cares. One of the things we do at the end of our services is we give an opportunity for you to give in your tithe and offerings, and we thank you. For those of you who give here regularly on Sunday mornings, we thank you. Everything that we do happens because not because of a credit card or because of a loan, but because we give and we're generous here. I thank you for next year. We prayed about next year. It's going to take some generosity for us to do all these things. It's going to take some generosity to have breakfast every Sunday morning for us to be able to love on people and for us to stand with people. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some energy. I want to thank you for those of you who give here. And as a pastor, thank you for giving your time, for giving your energy, and for giving your finances. That's how we do everything that we do here. And so why don't we have the usher team come on down. If you're ready to give this morning, thank you for giving. You can also give online as well, or you can text to give it too. If you're not ready to give this morning, that's okay. We just simply say this, is that we'd ask you to pray about it, because generosity is the heart of the Father, and he invites us into this. And so, but let me pray for you. Let me pray for you as you're passing the plates through this. God, we thank you this morning for being with us, and we thank you for being a God who absolutely loves us. God, we thank you for a simple plan that's meant to make it easy for anybody to walk with God, to learn how to jog with him, and to learn how to run. and that you want so much more for our lives than a Sunday morning service. You want our lives to be transformed and to experience full life. So I pray today in Jesus' name that you would help us, God, you would help us as a people to go beyond a Sunday morning service into real life with you. That I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that you came to adopt us into your family. And in your family now, we get to some of the best of heaven now here on earth. And so I pray, Lord, that we be those people that would always want more of God. And we'd be those people that would always want to give away more to God too. That we would want to invite people on our journey to experience the best of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the power of God that flows through our lives today. And so Lord, I pray this, Lord. I pray that you bless every single person in this place. That people, God, that you would be blessed. That this week you would feel the presence of God. That you would feel his pleasure and his gifting. And that you would feel his heart, God, pouring through you. Today you would be invited into a relationship with him that would change your life forever. At the end of service today, if you don't know Jesus, I'd love you to come up and we'd love to introduce you to him and maybe pray with you as well. God wants you in this family. So Lord, this morning, God, we thank you for family. We thank you that you take great pleasure in us being a part of your family. God, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Have a great rest of your Lord's Day. We'll go back to normal programming next week and enjoy your day. If you don't know Jesus, come talk to me. We'd love to pray with you at the end of service. So have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Church for Life weekly message. Tune in next week for a new teaching. And if you're in the Santa Maria area, please come join us for our Sunday services.